Blacksmithing is an ancient craft, but it's still practiced by South Dakota School of Mines and Technology students such as Ian Markham. He talks with me while Michael Willman tends the forge.
What is it you're doing?
I'm blacksmithing a spearhead at the moment. I have to keep watching my metal until it's not cherry red, but kind of a more like a tomato, so a brighter orange up into the yellow regions. And then, if I hit the steel, it'll mush out into shape very easily.
Well, this has artistic properties even before you make something because of the color and the...
Absolutely, yes. And some of the amazing stuff you can do with it, like my friend Jack here, his work piece is currently, it's 28 pieces of steel welded to each other. He's going to fold it over and make it 56 and fold it again and again and again until he has about 300 layers. And then when he finishes whatever he's working on, he can polish it, dunk it in acid, and the different layers of steel will react with the acid a little bit differently. So you'll have bright layers and dark layers, and it will look like a wood effect, like wood grain on your steel workpiece.
The whole scene appeals to the senses. It's unseasonably chilly this September evening, but it's toasty standing near the forge. There are the hot reds of the coals and the glowing hot metal, and when it's time, the hammer rhythmically rings out. Ian Markham explains the reasoning behind the saying, strike while the iron is hot.
I have to stop working the steel by about that temperature, or it'll start cracking. It'll harden up as it cools and just fall apart on me.
So it's getting to be kind of a rose color at this point.
Yeah. You can see all the black scale from the oxygen in the air reacting with the hot steel.
That noise catches my attention, and I move toward a table under a hard rocker's canopy where more young engineers demonstrate the art of science. Brett Trotter is the mine student who made that noise using a whistle printed out by a 3D printer.
I just found this online. They call it the, I think they call it the orange screamer. It's a little turbine. It doesn't spin very good, though.
He points to a table where a 3D printer is working to build a tiny anvil and hammer.
It's a desktop filament extrusion. It's a kind of 3D printing, additive manufacturing.
Additive manufacturing.
Yeah, it's where you add material to produce something instead of, say, start with a block and then subtract to get it down. So it's like the negative of machine work.
And the negative of sculpture.
Yeah.
It works a lot like a hot glue gun attached to a robot.
PhD candidate Josh Hamill explains how a 3D printer draws in a filament of polylactic acid and produces objects.
Right now we're using a PLA, which is a cornstarch-based plastic, and we're pushing that into a hot tip, which extrudes the material out into individual beads. Then those beads make up a pattern for a specific layer, and then each layer is built upon each other to build up a 3D object.
The tabletop is covered with objects these students have printed. Most are made from the plastic substance, but Hamill says other materials could be used.
You can get a wide range of colors. Some of these materials are glow-in-the-dark. Some of them are UV fluorescent. You can also get PLA with gold flakes in it, silver flakes. There's some new material from Europe that has bronze fill. If you were to print a statue and sand it down, it looks just like a bronze statue.
This is just kind of an idea of like fabrics. People are printing out dresses and shoes.
James Tomich does research at the School of Mines Arbogast Materials Processing Lab, along with Josh Hamill, who manages the Additive Manufacturing Lab. Tomich holds up a red patterned cube and talks with onlookers.
And diamonds, girls like diamonds, so this is a diamond. Well, it's the structure of which a diamond actually forms at the atomic level. So there's this strength to it that's unique. So, and it's really pretty.
It is. Nice.
Does the art, the visual aesthetic, enter into what you do?
Oh, definitely. As we look at making these structures that are lighter weight, we have the ability to make things more organic, and that's the term that we're using. It's a more organic structure. It looks more natural because the material is just where it needs to be, just like a tree holds up the leaf just in the right way. It doesn't have extra material to hold that leaf up. Now we have the ability to implement our ideas to solve our problems with this sort of mentality. We don't have to be confined to some manufacturing process.
Tomic says the people designing functional objects consider not only performance, but also appearance.
These are engineers and scientists that are choosing the way that your interior of your car is going to look. A lot of the modeling and a lot of the architecture that we're seeing is coming from people who are classically trained as engineers.
Tomic says there's a fine line that divides art from science and math, and it needs to be dissolved to bring greater unity to the form of functional things. He says intellectuals need freedom to be creative. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.